Én kofferidem jetzt nicht sein. Aber das haben wir uns dann, wenn diese Dunkel gut nicht kennen. Dumm, die alles so rat, aber drei Rachen. Und jetzt bin ich dann beim Fremdenkartenmädchen. Потом тоже заглядываем, Мадонна, и нашла.
Рис.
Или пальне, млад, млад, и тот есть сил. Сил, не та немский обчайный, черный батон. Право, писта, право, волк. Красный.
Радиска с годами о людях, ki ustvarjajo duh časa na Radiu Študent.
A young cowboy named Billy Joe grew restless on the farm. A boy filled with wanderlust who really meant no harm. He changed his clothes and shined his boots and combed his dark hair down. And his mother cried as he walked out, "Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town."
Dobar večer, v tokratnem Zeitgeistu bomo govorili o tako imenovanem landgrabingu. Ustreznega slovenskega prevoda žal nisem najdel. Tako imenovani landgrabing je praksa, pri kateri gre za izgubo lastništva lokalnih skupnosti in posameznikov nad zemljo, največkrat obdelovalno, s čimer je ogroženo njihovo preživetje. Konkretne prakse so lahko sicer zelo različne, vendar pa je značilno, da za investicijami največkrat stojijo predstavniki mednarodnega kapitala v obliki multinacionalk, različnih skladov, ponekod pa tudi vlade oziroma skladi posameznih držav. Landgrabbing je največkrat povezan z globalnim jugom, vendar pa obsežno poročilo, ki je pred kratkim izšlo, opozarja na pojav podobnih praks tudi v Evropi, ki je bila do sedaj v ta proces vključena predvsem kot vir investicij ali pa končni cilj za na ta način pridelane izdelke. Načini, s katerimi veliki vlagatelji pridejo do zemlje, so sicer v Evropi morda mogoče malo bolj prefinjeni, vendar pa je končni rezultat, to je velika brezposelnost in obubožani lokalni prebivalci ter največkrat uničeno okolje, več ali manj tudi v Evropi podoben. Poleg tega poblagovljenje obdelovalne zemlje zanemarja kulturni pomen tradicionalnih oblik kmetijstva in največkrat tudi škodi sami kvaliteti zemlje, saj se želja po dobičku hitrem ne sklada z idejo o trajnostnem razvoju kmetijstva, ki je ključna pri trenutnih potrebah po hrani, ki z večanjem števila prebivalstva še rastejo. Jana van der Plega, enega od soavtorjev poročila in profesorja na Univerzi Wageningen na Nizozemskem, smo zato vprašali, v kakšnih oblikah se v Evropi pojavljata landgrabbing oziroma koncentracija lastništva nad kmetijskimi zemljišči.
It was thought that landgrabbing was limited to the global south or to the third world, as you say. And now it appears that throughout Europe, but especially in Eastern Europe, there is a lot of land grabbing as well. This is basically about big companies, foreign companies quite often, investment vehicles obtain land directly through buying it, very often through leasing it. But many times it's not very clear what the juridical, what the legal status of the shift of ownership is. And that's one of the features of land grabbing, that is absolutely no transparency. A lot is passing under the radar. There are all kinds of methods, like this so-called Spanish method, like the so-called pocket contracts with imply that, as a matter of fact, land grabbing can have moved forward far more than now is visible. And this is also one of the problems. There is in Europe no observatory that currently documents what is happening with the land, whether who controls the land. And this is one of the first things, of course, that should change.
Jana van der Plega smo zato v nadaljevanju vprašali kje v teh državah v Evropi je največja koncentracija? Ker, kot vidimo, je kljub visoko čisleni zasebni lastnini in pravici posameznika v mnogih državah tudi kot posledica monarhij obstoječih ali pa preteklih koncentracija lastništva nad zemljo še vedno zelo velika.
Well, historically, of course, we have three poles of large holdings in Europe. This is Scotland, it's in the UK indeed, Andalusia in the south of Spain, and then Eastern Germany, where you had the Prussian large holdings from the past, which then became in socialist time became die very large LPGs, Landwirtschaftliche Produktionsgenossenschaften, and then these were obtained by Red Juncker and are now very big private enterprises. But now the where you see the most articulated forms of land concentration, that evidently is in Russia and in the Ukraine. The last news about the Ukraine is that China already obtained hundreds of thousands of hectares, but will continue to expand there till having an area of 3 million hectares. That is 150% of the whole of the Netherlands. So this is about enormous concentrations of land. But it's not only China, of course. It's also private equity from the West. It's large enterprises from Lebanon, from Italy. You name it; it occurs everywhere. But the most articulated forms you see in Ukraine and in Russia, and this is telling, of course, politically in especially over there in Russia and in Ukraine, civil society is very weak. It has been hammered and it has been driven backwards and it's threatened, and at the moment there are very repressive conditions. Now it seems that a very weak civil society is one of the preconditions for land grabbing. Yeah, and it's especially a strong civil society and a strong peasantry that's the best guarantee to resist it.
Specifičen primer pa so tudi bivše socialistične države, ena izmed njih je seveda tudi Srbija. Tam se je po ukinitvi oziroma razpadu socializma začela privatizacija, zato smo, da bi nam ta proces bolje opisal, smo poklicali Milenka Srečkoviča, ustanovitelja pokreta za slobodu srbsko delavsko kmečke organizacije.
Privatizacija v Srbiji sprovedena je pre svega u interesu financijskih moćnika. Vrlo često se sprovodila kako bi se recimo oprao novac sa offshore računa, novac koji je ukraden za vreme Miloševićevog režima. Taj novac je kroz privatizaciju ubačen u legalne financijske tokove. Razni kriminalci i tajkuni su kupovali društvena preduzeća, poljoprivredna preduzeća među njima također, kako bi oni su kupili za preduzeće bez ikakvog interesa da očuvaju proizvodnju, bez ikakvog interesa da održe broj radnika, tako da su uglavnom rasprodavali nekretnine ili podizali kredite u bankama na osnovu onoga što su kupili novcem, čije poreklo uopšte nije ispitivano od strane nadležnih državnih institucija, i to je najveća greška u privatizaciji, što poreklo novca nije ispitivano, tako da su razni kriminalci iz narkokartela mogli da kupuju preduzeća, poljoprivredna preduzeća, recimo Darko Šarić, jedan od najvećih kriminalaca iz narkokartela. On je kupio veći broj poljoprivrednih preduzeća u Vojvodini. Naravno, njega ne zanima proizvodnje, njega samo zanima da novac koji je stekao na kriminalan način ubaci u legalne tokove i tako ga opere. Problem sa otimanjem zemlje u Srbiji, za razliku recimo od afričkih zemalja, je, dakle, to otimanje zemlje se u početku dešavalo najpre kroz proces privatizacije, ali se danas dešava i putem direktnih sporazuma između Srbije kao države i korporacija koje dolaze iz ovih zemalja koje su bogate naftom, arapskih zemalja, dakle iz Golfskog zaliva. Nedavno je napravljen taj sporazum između korporacije koje dolazi iz Ujedinjenih Arapskih Emirata i države Srbije, da se državno zemljište u iznosu od 16 do 20.000 hektara ustupi na, na nekih 99 godina na obrađivanje toj stranoj korporaciji pod uslovima koji su još uvijek nepoznati javnosti, odnosno još uvijek je nepoznato šta Srbija dobija za uzvrat, govori se o nekom navodnjavanju i tako dalje, ali sve to vrlo maglovito.
Kaj dejansko land grabbing pomeni za kmete, torej za tiste, ki so do pač prodaje obdelovali in imeli v lasti zemljo, smo vprašali Jana van der Plega.
Characteristic for land grabbing is that it's not only a shift of ownership, but at the same time it is a far-reaching change in the use of the land. Mostly employment goes back very much, it's reduced strongly. We have documented an example of a large enterprise in Romania, which is owned by an Italian company. It is having 11,000 hectares, and only 90 persons are working on this 11,000 hectares. So that's ridiculous. That's obscene, even in times of crisis, to have such an underutilization of land. That's a shame. But it's, you see it in nearly all forms of land grabbing. There is a very sharp reduction of employment. Very often there is a monoculture, so just one crop. There is no combination of animal raising and arable production, which normally is a very sound agronomic principle that you combine the two. But it's just a monoculture. Then there is a very high use of all kinds of chemical inputs. And finally, you often see that the yields, so that is the production per hectare or the production per animal, that these yields are low as well. And this can be explained very simply by the fact that these new companies, yeah, that now control the land through land grabbing, they are not aiming for the highest possible production food, but they aim at the highest return on invested capital, which is completely different and which may very well go against increased production. So there is, all this implies that there is a potential threat for well, for our people of Europe. This might reduce the supply of food. This might undermine sustainability. It can threaten very much the quality of life in the countryside. And especially if you look to the future, as I said, it's now limited, this land grabbing in Europe, to the eastern part. It's also very notable in Ukraine, in Russia. But then we argue that it might very well appear in the West and in the Mediterranean, a part of Europe as well, as a consequence of the crisis, farmers losing their land, having to sell it, and then emerging here these large, very large agricultural enterprises as well.
Glede na to, da veliko dela na terenu v lokalnih skupnostih, smo Milenka Srečkoviča vprašali, kakšen je pa dejanski vpliv na življenja kmetov v Srbiji, glede na to, da je zemlja največkrat kupljena predvsem kot način za pranje denarja oziroma kot investicija in ne v želji po nekem dolgoročnem kmetovanju.
Poljoprivreda je dalje grana v Srbiji, koja stvara največji prihod iz izvoza. Dakle, poljoprivreda postoji. Problem je što sve veći broj malih poljoprivrednih proizvođača nema mogućnost da živi pristojno od svog rada, što postoji monopol na tržištu, postoji monopol među otkupljivačima hrane, oni diktiraju cenu, otkupnu cenu primarnih proizvoda, tako da su seljaci i mali proizvođači prinuđeni da prodaju svoje proizvode ispod cene koštanja. Tako da sve veći broj seljaka je u vrlo nezavidnoj situaciji. Oni više nemaju svoje zadruge, nemaju više svoje poljoprivredne kombinate, poljoprivredna preduzeća, gde su imali mnogo povoljnije uslove za svoj rad, u smislu da su mislim da su ti poljoprivredni kombinati koji su propašćeni u procesu privatizacije bili jedna zaokružena ekonomska cjelina koja je imala velikog smisla, jer je u njima bila zaokružena i primarna proizvodnja i prerada poljoprivrednih proizvoda i plasman na tržište. Na taj način su seljaci mogli da imaju nekog uticaja na ono što se dešava sa primarnim poljoprivrednim proizvodima, a danas su pod potpunom kontrolom monopolista i preprodavaca.
Zopet smo torej nazaj v daji Zeitgeist, kjer nocoj govorimo o tako imenovanem landgrabingu v Evropi. Kot tudi na vseh ostalih področjih je tudi tu precejšna vloga Evropske unije, ki svojo skupno kmetijsko politiko ureja področje kmetijstva v državah, ki so članice Evropske unije. Veliko subvencij gre v okviru te politike velikim farmam, zato smo nizozemskega profesorja Jana van der Plega vprašali, kakšen vpliv ima to na landgrabing.
Well, it's ambivalent. Of course, the European Union for sure will not favor this kind of phenomenon, but there might be unintended consequences in its policies. One unintended consequence, for instance, is this single payment on hectare basis. All people using the land, all enterprises using the land, receive this single payment. Now, this can be in the east of Europe something like more or less 200 euros per hectare. It is meant to help farmers, also small farmers, to face difficult conditions, to give them some support. But if you have, let's say, 10,000 hectares, then you obtain an enormous amount of money in this way. Now, this should be avoided. The technical term is capping, that you put a limit on the total amount of support as an enterprise can receive. But it's still not... it's being discussed at the moment, but it's not yet a policy. And this is very urgent, because if you do not have this capping, then European policy might, as unintended consequence, support this phenomenon of land grabbing, and it would be disastrous, of course. Well, I know people are busy at the moment putting this issue on the European agenda, but it goes too slowly. But anyway, let's continue writing and talking about this, and let's because it's urgent.
V fazi približevanja Evropski uniji pa je tudi Srbija, zato smo aktivista Milenka Srečkoviča vprašali, kako približevanje Evropski uniji vpliva na politike srbske vlade v zvezi s kmetijstvom.
Nažalost, pridruživanje Evropskoj uniji baš u pogledu poljoprivrede i u pitanju vlasništva nad zemljom ima najnegativnije posljedice, zato što Srbija je ispregovarala veoma nepovoljan rok u kojem će omogućiti stranim licima i stranim korporacijama da mogu da postanu vlasnici poljoprivrednog zemljišta u Srbiji. Dakle, to je 4 godine nakon stupanja na snagu sporazuma o stabilizaciji i pridruživanju, koji je stupio na snagu pre mjesec dana. Dakle, 4 godine nakon toga, to je već 2017. Tada Srbija treba da omogući stranim korporacijama da budu vlasnici poljoprivrednog zemljišta. Šta to znači? Danas strano lice i strana korporacija mogu da budu vlasnici zemljišta u Srbiji samo ako osnuju firmu u Srbiji. Dakle, razlika je što ta firma makar mora da plaća porez u Srbiji. Kroz 4 godine oni će moći da budu vlasnici zemljišta u Srbiji, ali kao firma koja je stacionirana bilo gde u svetu i neće imati nikakve obaveze prema Srbiji. Tako da ono što Pokret za slobodu traži je da se ponovo pregovara sa Evropskom unijom i da se taj rok odloži, odnosno da se potpuno zabrani prodaja poljoprivrednog zemljišta stranim licima i da se poljoprivredno zemljište ustupi domaćim malim seoskim proizvođačima koji bi obrađivali tu zemlju. Taj nepovoljni rok za prodaju poljoprivrednog zemljišta stranim korporacijama dogovoren je u interesu tajkuna koji prosto žele da to zemljište prodaju što pre, jer postoji značajna razlika u ceni poljoprivrednog zemljišta na srpskom tržištu i na međunarodnom tržištu, tako da bi oni veoma profitirali prodajom tog zemljišta, a recimo četvorica tajkuna imaju više od 100.000 hektara zajedno, dakle jedan od njih ima 30.000 hektara u Vojvodini, dakle radi se o velikom novcu koji bi oni stekli prodavajući zemljište stranim korporacijama.
Ob vseh težavah, ki jih land grabbing seveda povzroča prebivalcem, pa ne gre pozabiti na okoljsko škodo. Uporablja se namreč bistveno več gnojil, kmetovanje pa je bolj industrijsko na teh velikih farmah. Govori Jan van der Pleek.
Yes, your observation is correct, and as an agronomist I can say that this large-scale farming in practice very often is a rough farming. Yeah, it's not done carefully. It's not a well done job, but it's very rough. It's just passing quickly with large machines over the fields. It's using a lot of chemical inputs. All this is having very detrimental effects for, first of all, the quality of the soil, which is an important ecological capital we have in Europe. And this is slowly destroyed, often irreversibly. It is very detrimental, this way of farming, for biodiversity. It's also very damaging for our beautiful landscapes. So the ecological damage might be considerable, and this is outrageous, of course. We need to protect our ecological capital in order to be able to feed our populations, not only now, but also in the future. And we all know that the total world population will continue to grow till the year 2050, and we need to produce more, and the only solution is to be as careful as possible with our ecological capital. The same applies, of course. We have to be careful with our farmer population, with our peasantries in Europe. We have to do our utmost, the best at the political level, to offer them prospects, to offer them a good perspective, to help defend themselves against land grabbing. And here resides the enormous relevance of the European coordination of La Via Campesina. Yeah, they are the first coordinated group of farmers unions who is denouncing this phenomenon in within Europe.
Glede na to, da se je land grabbing najprej pojavil na globalnem jugu in ima tam že kar precej dolgo zgodovino, je to dolgo zgodovino spremljala tudi dolga zgodovina uporov. Kako je z uporom v Evropi, kljub temu, da ni tako star fenomen, smo vprašali Jana van der Plega.
Yeah, I was in European Parliament a few months ago when this study of us was presented for the first time, and there was a delegation from Romania, and they really denunciated what is happening in very convincing terms. I think their grassroots resistance is starting. It seems an anecdote, but it is telling about a new reality. It's emerging. It's, I guess, in a Romanian or in a Bulgarian village, which is completely surrounded by these newly emerging very large enterprises. People refer to the village as Alcatraz, the famous prison in the United States. They are joking. We are living now in a kind of prison. We cannot go nowhere. We are completely surrounded by these new enterprise with all its fences. This sounds like a joke, but as you know, from joking often emerges the resistance. It's one of the first expressions of people not feeling very comfortable with what is going on. Well, we have historical examples, of course, of a massive resistance against land grabbing, like the Larzac case in France that was in the 70s, I think. And out of this, strong organizations, strong movements have been born. Larzac, it was meant to expropriate a large agricultural area to convert it into military base, and that was strongly opposed not only by the peasants but also by the general population. We have had other examples against land grabbing, green grabbing throughout Europe, but especially when it is buying land or obtaining the lease of the land on behalf of large foreign capital groups. This is a new phenomenon, and resistance is still to be organized.
Pospešeni koncentraciji lastništva v zadnjih letih pa se upirajo tudi v Srbiji. Kako se organizirajo in kakšen je način upora, smo vprašali Milenka Srečkoviča.
Postoji veliki broj raznih seljačkih udruženja koji se na različite načine protive ovim procesima, ali su oni, ali su ti protesti pre svega diktirani potrebom seljaka da obezbede sebi egzistenciju. Dakle, ti procesi su pre svega usmereni na povećanje cene primarnih proizvoda, dakle na borbu sa preprodavcima i sa državom. S druge strane, postoji veliki broj ili određeni broj seoskih udruženja, poljoprivrednih asocijacija koje traže da zemlja koja je u državnom vlasništvu, umjesto da se prodaje raznim multinacionalnim korporacijama, da se u stvari njima rentira kako bi ga oni obrađivali. Dakle, s druge strane postoji i razna seoska udruženja koja su pod kontrolom političkih partija i čiji otpor nije vrlo pouzdan.
Odpor proti landgrabingu oziroma koncentraciji lastništva se torej nadaljuje oziroma začenja. Nocojšnji Zeitgeist sem pripravil Jaša ob tehnični pomoči Jureta. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause, I'd gun nobody down. But she cried again as he rolled away. Don't take your guns to town, son, leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samo stan, ima tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa ne. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno žo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to je siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črni pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiju Študent. Thank you.